this morning, and good to see your smiling faces on a beautiful, absolutely beautiful Sunday morning. And we're glad that you're here with us to worship and to uplift the Lord, and we thank you for being here. We know that you will be blessed by the Word of God here today. And, you know, a lot of people call this Super Bowl Sunday, and I guess it is Super Bowl Sunday, but it's super because we're here this morning worshiping God, and that's the reason I call it Super Sunday or Super Bowl Sunday. But we thank you for being here today, and we know that you'll be blessed. A few announcements this morning. First of all, we'd like for you to, if you have any prayer requests, you have cards in the pews in front of you, prayer request cards, and also visitor cards. If you are a visitor for the first time, and we'd like for you to fill out one of those cards and drop it in the plate on the way by. And so we'll have record of your visit, and hopefully we can get in touch with you in the future. And coming up, of course, next Sunday is our Valentine's potluck luncheon, and we hope that you'll want to be here for that. We always have a great time, a wonderful time. We have fellowship and good food, and we hope that you will be here, and we hope that you'll bring your favorite dish and recipe or whatever, and desserts will be provided. So we hope that you'll want to be here next week and to join in with our Valentine's potluck luncheon. The Journeys Committee is hosting a game night on Friday, February the 24th. And says please sign. There's a sign-up sheet in the front entryway, and it'll be a fun night. We had one of those a couple months ago, and it was a fun night. We hope that you'll want to join in and add to that fun. And let's see, Finance Committee meeting on the 7th at 7 p.m., and we will have adult Bible study on the 8th at 10 a.m., and I think that's pretty much it for this coming week. Be sure to check your bulletin here. If you're not sure of anything, make sure you check the bulletin and for all the upcoming events in the future. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that you've given to us and for all the many blessings, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to worship you and to lift you up. Father, we ask that you'll open our hearts, and may the Holy Spirit be upon us this day. Thank you again, dear Lord, for all that you bless us with. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, be honor and glory forever. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Please stand and join in our opening hymn, number 56, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Yeah.
You may be seated. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press on toward the goal for which God has called me heavenward. Please stand and join in our offertory hymn, number 532, Higher Ground.
Amen. the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
He was with God in the beginning.
All things were created through Him.
And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created.
Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men.
That light shines in the darkness.
Yet the darkness did not overcome it.
There was a man named John who was sent from God.
He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through Him.
He was not the light, but He came to testify about the light.
The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through Him, yet the world did not recognize Him.
He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him.
But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of the blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God.
The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed His glory, and the glory was the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him and exclaimed,
"This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me has surpassed me because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him."
This is John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him,
"Who are you?"
He did not refuse to answer, but he declared,
"I am not the Messiah."
"What then? Are you Elijah?"
"I am not."
"Are you the prophet?"
"No."
"Who are you then? We need you to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself?"
"I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' just as Isaiah the prophet said."
Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him,
"Why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah, or Elijah, or the prophet?"
"I baptize with water. Someone stands among you, but you do not know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie."
All this happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said,
"Here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who has surpassed me, because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptized with water, so he might be revealed to Israel."
May God bless the reading of His Word. Of course, the invention of laser pointers. And I love laser pointers, and I've tried in the daylight and with different types of things. I've tried the red. They make red laser pointers, and they make blue ones and green ones and violet ones, and it's really neat. But I like the green one because daylight or not. Now, look at that. What am I pointing at?
Hymnal.
Hymnal. All right, if I'm over here, what am I pointing at? My hand's not so steady, but I'm pointing at the flowers. All right? If I want to point to something on the wall over here, what am I pointing at? And the cross that says Amazing Grace, right? With a laser pointer, I can pinpoint so that every person from anywhere in the room, you can look and you can see exactly what I'm pointing at. No guessing. No guessing. Do you notice that? What's that? And that's right. If you want to drive your cats crazy, these are fun. Today and for the next several weeks, we're going to be discussing pointing to Jesus. Pointing to Jesus. But we aren't going to discuss it like a stare that no one really knows what you're looking at. We're not to discuss it like a finger point that unless someone's looking straight down your arm, or even when they're looking straight at you, they may not know what you're pointing at. We're not going to discuss it like a back scratcher, retractable, or even a pen pointer. We want to discuss pointing to Jesus like a laser, so that no one has doubt, that no one has doubt what we're pointing at. They know we're pointing to Jesus. I'd like to focus today on some characters we find in Scripture who laser pointed Jesus with their life and their words. There are examples. They are what I call the company of pointers that we find in God's Word. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have of pointing to you. We'd have no need to point to Jesus if there was no need of Jesus. But without any doubt, we know, Jesus, you are the answer everyone looks for. You are the peace everyone seeks, the fulfillment everyone desires. May we learn, at least in part today, to be better pointers to you. Ultimately, may you be glorified, Jesus, today through the words of your Scripture and the words you've laid on my heart. It's in your name we pray. You're the reason we're here. Jesus. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20. By this point in the Gospel of John, John's already spoken of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. By this point in the Gospel of John, people have bodily and physically seen Jesus. They've seen him alive after being dead. There's no doubt that Jesus died. He hung on a cross, and he had a spear stuck in his side all the way to his heart. Nobody lives through that. He died. He didn't swoon. It wasn't made up. He died. Roman soldiers were notorious for knowing how to kill someone. Jesus died. He was buried. And he, by only the power of God, therefore by only the power that Jesus had himself, raised from the dead, and the Bible tells us, the first among the resurrected. His disciples saw him. They talked with him, all but one, at this point in the Gospel of John. His name was Thomas. We love to call him Doubting Thomas. But you know what? Thomas is no different than us. If all the people had been saying to all our buddies were saying to us, oh, Jesus risen from dead and all this, and you hadn't seen him yet, you too would say, just like Thomas did, well, until I see him, and I can touch him, and I can touch the holes in his hands and the hole in his side, I'm not going to believe it's Jesus. We'd be the same way. So let's not be too hard on Thomas. But I believe Jesus allowed this for his glory and for our understanding. And so we pick it up then in John chapter 20, verse 29. Speaking to Thomas, Jesus said, because you've seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe. And so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, And by believing, you may have life in His name. This is the point. Our dramatic scripture reading, and again, I thank Patty, Wayne, and Ethel for doing that for us. I thought it was wonderfully done. That was taken from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And it describes, first of all, who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It goes on to speak that the Word is Jesus. And then from that point, it describes John the Immerser. We call him John the Baptist. Why John the Immerser? Because he dunked people underwater upon their repentance of their worldly ways. John the Immerser, John the Baptizer. He was a laser pointer to Jesus Christ. The New Testament is filled with examples of people like John the Baptizer, John the Immerser, who lived their lives, who some even lived their life to the point of dying, so that they could point others to Jesus, because they knew beyond doubt that Jesus was the Son of God and the only way a person could have eternal life. It was worth their physical life so that others could be pointed to Jesus and have the same assurance they had of eternal life. The writer of the Gospel of John also wrote 1 John, among other things, and other writings, and he pointed to Jesus in 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. He said this, "And who is the one who conquers the sinful enticements of the world? But the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." He didn't say, "for the one that believes in God." He certainly didn't say, "for the one that believes in Allah." He certainly didn't say, "the one who believes in Buddha." He certainly didn't say, "for the one that is just a good person and believes in themselves. They're humanists or whatever." He said, "the one who can conquer the sinful enticements of this world is the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Simon Peter, he refused to take any glory for the miraculous works that were performed by God through him. But he didn't point to God because he knew that would dishonor God the Father, because everything in Scripture, God the Father points to Jesus. So Peter knew it, and he needed to point to Jesus. And there's one particular example I'd like to point out. Peter and John, they're walking to the temple. There's a man that's begging. He'd been lame from birth. Peter didn't have money to give him, but he had one thing to give him, and he said, "in the name of Jesus of Nazareth." The man was healed. And so we pick it up here as the people have seen this paralyzed man from birth, never had never walked in his life, and he's jumping and running up and down. Didn't go to rehab either. He ran and jumped and boom, like this. And all the people are marveled, and this is what Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 and 12. 10 through 12, he said, "Let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of the Nazarene, whom you crucified, and whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man is standing before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it." Now, if that isn't laser pointing, nobody could hear Peter say that and have a doubt. Was he talking about John the Baptist? Or he wasn't talking about the Emperor of Rome, was he? Was he talking about you? Hey, Jim Bob, was he talking about you? There's no question. Peter had a laser pointer, and he pointed straight at Jesus. John and Peter were apostles, so maybe we'd expect that they would point to Jesus. But you see, Scripture doesn't just give us the apostles pointing to Jesus. There's just a regular guy named Philip. I'm going to tell you something. He pointed to Jesus. Just read in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Wow. They believed. Then they were baptized. Baptism following their belief. In what? The kingdom of God? No. Just God? No. In the name and the name of Jesus Christ, as Peter or John had already told us in 1 John, by no other name is someone saved. Peter said that. A former hater of the name of Jesus and persecutor of anyone who believed in Jesus had a change in his life, truly a 180, because of Jesus. From that moment of his change, he spent the rest of his life, even to the point of being martyred for the name of Jesus, he spent all his life pointing others to Jesus. We know this man to be the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of our New Testament. And he lived this life in order to laser point people to Jesus. With words like in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the payment of your sin is death and hell, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." There's no other way. Paul made it very, very clear there's no other way. And you can read 2/3 of the New Testament and you will find Paul continually pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus. There are many other New Testament, and frankly, the Old Testament is filled with examples of people pointing to Jesus. In the Old Testament, it's proved through prophetic teachings of the person we know to be Jesus. In the New Testament, they knew that all that prophecy was pointing to Jesus, and so they said, "We're going to be in good company and point to Jesus." But if we want to be in good company, we're talking today of the company of pointers, those that pointed to Jesus. There is no greater pointer than the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We read in the New Testament that God the Father pointed to Jesus. And we know through the Old Testament God the Father pointed to Jesus over and over and over. But specifically, let's look here in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, verse 16. I think this is something we know, isn't it? "For God," that is God the Father, "loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him," not in God, but in... Well, you have to believe in God too, because if you don't believe in God, you can't believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, guess what? Jesus made it very clear. You can't believe in God. "And whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life." And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, just another place, while Peter was still speaking to Jesus, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in Him. Listen to Him." God, very specifically, laser pointed straight down on Jesus. He let those disciples know, "This is my beloved Son. This is part of the Godhood. This is God the Son. Listen to Him." Then, knowing the absolute best thing for all humankind. He being the one that proved to us that God loved us, that is Jesus. Then knowing that to follow Him and to know Him was the absolute best for us, Jesus pointed to Himself. Not in pride, but in absolute love, selflessness for us. And He proved it over and over and over because He didn't seek any gain. He didn't seek fame. He didn't seek money. And in fact, truly He sought the cross. And so we read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to Me, all of you. All of you who are weary and burdened, come to Me. I will give you rest." Luke chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus said, "All things have been entrusted to Me by My Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone whom the Son desires to reveal Him." How are people having God revealed to them? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 22, Jesus said, John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said, "I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in Me would not remain in darkness." And so Jesus, as the light — they didn't have lasers back then, He might have said, "I've come to be the laser," to point to Jesus, to point to Myself, because that is where you come to the light. That is where you get away from darkness. And finally, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, points to Jesus and continues to do so in and through the lives of all believers who humbly submit to His leading. John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27. "When the Counselor comes," that is the Holy Spirit, "the One I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me. You also will testify because you have been with Me from the beginning." Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit indwells all believers. It even tells us in the New Testament that we are the temple, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to point to Jesus. That's His sole passion, is to point to Jesus. And if He indwells in us and our bodies as a temple, then what should we be doing? We probably should be pointing to Jesus. And some of us choose to point with Jesus with just staring with our eyes and making people guess. Pointing with our fingers, making people wonder. Pointing with some kind of a back scratcher or something like that and just people thinking we're weird. Or a flashlight. And people are going, "Is it that? Or what is He shining at?" But with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we are to testify as laser pointers to Jesus. At Christmas time, on Christmas Eve, my family, we have a tradition. Christmas Eve morning, as we're able, we get up, cook some cinnamon buns, and we'll sit and watch the feature film, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. At one point in that particular film, the Grinch sits down and he looks at his to-do list. Now, he's a Grinch. One of those points is solve world hunger. Tell no one. If you solve world hunger, you probably should make it known. Don't you think? If you solved it, and you knew you solved it, how could you be silent? Well, we have so much more than solving world hunger. We have the key to reconciliation before Almighty God. We have the key to peace in our inner being. We have the key to fulfillment in life and purpose. We have the key to the gates of heaven. The key, then, to eternal life. It's Jesus. Why do we mess around? Why do we mess around with anything else? The challenge for this week, then, is for all of us who claim to be believers. We claim to have called upon Jesus as Lord and Commander of our life. We claim to have to trust in Him and Him alone for our eternal life. The challenge is for us to every day pray this question: God, in the name of Jesus, am I being a laser pointer to Jesus? Am I pointing to Jesus today? And then be willing to allow God to show us where we're not. To also show us where we are pointing to Jesus. And capitalize on where we are showing Jesus, pointing to Jesus. And pray for strength to get rid of the things that keep us from pointing to Jesus. That's quite a challenge. That's quite a challenge, because we're going to have to face ourselves and face ourselves before God's throne. But He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. And that's right where He wants us to humbly say to God, all I want to do with my life, God, is point to Jesus. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You're the ultimate example of pointing to Jesus. You have truly done it from the moment that humankind sinned. We read about it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's where You started pointing to Jesus, right there. And You never stopped pointing to Jesus, giving us examples of a sacrificial lamb, giving us examples of from our the father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, from men like Moses and Joshua, David, Solomon, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and the list goes on. Men and women. Women like Ruth and Esther. Women like Deborah. Pointing with their lives and their words to Jesus, to the Messiah. Because of You, God, as the ultimate pointer. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that You, that Your passion is to point to Jesus, that is Your sole purpose, to point to Jesus and empower us to point to Jesus. And then, Savior, Jesus, thank You for being willing to take all the ridicule and mocking, even this day, to point to Yourself for our good. May we take this challenge, may I take this challenge, to pray each day, am I pointing to You, Jesus? Am I pointing to Jesus? Show me. Show me where I am so I can capitalize. Show me where I'm not so I can change. May we be a people, as individuals and then coming together corporately as a body, may we be a people that point others to Jesus. We say, we've boiled the Great Commission down to loving people, to loving Jesus. And may it be like a laser pointer. In Jesus' name.